I think most of you will be able to relate to this. You've been in your car and you were driving somewhere important, and you were on time. Some of you don't relate to that last part. On time is when you get somewhere before you're late. Anyways, you're heading somewhere and you were on time, and then every light was red. Anybody experienced that? Or there was a train, right? Or there was just normal DFW, okay? Just the traffic of the things that come. And it's frustrating. You were on time. And did any of you have somebody in your life that kind of rages a little bit in the car? You know what I'm talking? Don't point at your spouse, okay? We like happy marriages. Don't talk about their driving. That's the quickest way to an unhappy marriage, I think. No, you get there and you get frustrated. I certainly do. I'm like, get out of my way. What is wrong with you? And all that. And because you're not getting where you wanted to be. Sometimes it's even worse. You get in the car in the morning and you're about to leave. And maybe you've had this. You put your key in the car and click, 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 click. Not supposed to click, all right? And the battery's dead or something, and you know, well, I'm either going to be late or I'm not going to make it, depending. Or this happened to me multiple times. I've been driving down a road, and I heard a boom, boop, 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 as the tire blew out, and I knew I'm going to be really late. Or some things, you're just not going to make it to whatever that was. It's just not going to happen anymore. And it's frustrating, and you get irritated, and that's maybe okay. But here's something I hope you get irritated about. Okay, I don't want you to be irritated this morning. That there's some places God has been trying to take you, and you haven't gotten there. Something's gotten in the way. Something slowed you down. So there's something God's trying to do in your life, or has tried to do, and something has kept you from getting there. Some of us never left the driveway, all right? And he's trying to get you, and we just got stuck before we even got out, okay? Some of you had a spiritual blowout. You were heading down, doing things for God, growing, changing, and boom, and something stopped. Okay, it's time to change the tire, jump the car off, and get going. Now, I can't make all the lights green or the train stop, but in our life, God can do what he wants to do if we'll let him. And so I wanted to do that and go. Okay, no more car illustration. Let's use one Jesus did, okay? We've been using what he talked about the parable of the sower or of the soils, and how that we're supposed to see growth in our life and change, and God wants to do things in our life. So I'm just going to read through it quickly, the parable in Luke chapter 8. It says that there was a farmer who went to sow seed and scattered some seed. Some fell along a path. Some of the seed fell on a path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. They grew, but they died. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked out the plants. Still, some seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And this is what we want to be, good soil. We want to be where God can produce in us what he wants to produce. Now, some of you have been here for all 3 weeks. Okay, so you better get this right, or I'm going to have to start over. In the parable, he tells us an explanation. He tells us what the seed is. What is the seed? The word. Someone was real quick over there. A+. All right. It is. The seed is the word. This is the meaning of the parable, Jesus said. The seed is the word of God. So he uses his word. It is what is planted in us to grow. And so we've said it in some way every week that God's word is supposed to produce something in you. God wants to grow things in us, change things in us, produce things in us. He uses his word to do it. And so his word, when we come and we gather like this, his word is supposed to produce something in you. When you read your scripture, when God speaks to your heart, it should produce something in you. So I want to just talk about real quick a couple of things that he produces. Here's one. It produces new life, salvation in you. It should, when our hearts are right, it will produce salvation in us. James 1:21, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Okay, the word planted in you. When God's word gets planted in our hearts, it should grow up and produce salvation. When you hear the message and the news that Jesus died on a cross for your sins and that you, a sinner, have been, that sin has been paid for by him, and when you put your faith in him, he is faithful to forgive you and you have eternal life. You receive that message and believe that message, and what grows up in you? New life, salvation. And that is what it's meant to produce. But you've been saved, some of you, for a long time, okay? Longer than I've been alive. Some of us new, but wherever you're at in that, he's not done growing in you. He's still producing things, and he wants to produce this in you, a changed life, a new life, and a changed life that we have, I like this word, Christ-likeness, righteousness, holiness, that we are becoming like him, that we're looking like Christ. He wants to grow things up in you that you don't have. He wants to get sin out that doesn't belong, and he wants to produce things in you like the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Don't you think we could use a little bit more patience? Some of you are sitting next to someone praying, Lord, please let them get some more, right? And we need some more of these things. Okay, this is what God produces in us. He changes us, and it should be being produced in your life. And finally, his word produces a multiplied life. We've had a new life, a changed life. We have a multiplied life, that we are doing ministry, and every single person in this room has things that God has for you to do in this world, people for you to reach, lives that will be saved, and people that you help, that we're carrying each other's burdens. That's part of what we do as a ministry in the body of Christ, that we're helping one another and there for each other, praying for each other, and ministry is happening. When we let God's word grow up in us, he will produce ministry, you will become fruitful in that you will be helping others get closer to Christ and grow. And so all of these things are meant to be produced in our lives by the word. And all these are good things. I hope you didn't notice. And what it does to you, it's a good thing. If I am growing in Christ likeness and that's produced in me, I am going to be a better dad. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better man. Any men in this room want to be those things? We need some men who are ready to stand up and change this world by being like Christ and letting him become what we're supposed to be and lead their homes and lead their families. And God will do that in you if you'll let him grow, let what he wants grow up in you. If you let Christ's likeness grow up in you, addictions that you've had will begin to fall off of you. Things that you've been trying to quit will come off you. Sin will leave as we let his ways grow up in us. Ministry will be produced in me and you. Your friends' lives will be touched and changed because you let God grow up in you. This world will be different because you let God do what he wanted. Hurting people will be helped by you. God will work through you to do those things. So here's the deal, though. Satan doesn't want you to be productive. He doesn't want you to grow and change this world. He doesn't want you to become like Christ. He doesn't want you to be saved. And so he's not going to stand by and just watch this happen. And so in the parable, we learn that there are four types of heart, types of soil. Only one of them really produces. And so there was the path where the seed, the word comes, and we either don't understand it or we reject it, and it's taken away by Satan and doesn't produce what it's meant to. Then there's the rocky places. It grows, and some of you experienced this. You had some growth, and you're excited about God, and then the troubles of life and persecutions come, and it dies. Now, we talked about that last week. This week, I want to talk about thorns. The thorns, the things that will grow up with the word and keep it from being fruitful. So let's look at what Jesus said. We're going to look at the parable. We're going to see where he told the parable and then where he explained it. So in Luke 8:7, he says, some fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. That's a pretty easy image to understand. Yes? Okay. You can imagine a plant, thorns around it, choking it. You understand what choking is. You can just turn the person next to you and give them a little. See, the teenagers immediately jump into action. They're like, please, thank you. If I said that in the youth room, there'd be chaos for the next 2 or 3 minutes. But yeah, we understand what that is. And it's the life being taken out of it, okay? And so he explains it now in verse 14. Now the ones that fell among thorns, the seed that fell among the thorns, are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. They have no fruit. They're fruitless. Say fruitless. We don't want to be fruitless, right? We want to have fruit. We want the word to produce in us. But this is what thorns do. They keep you from being fruitful. They keep you fruitless. Now, those three things in blue, those are going to be the three main points we're about to talk about. But I just want to show us real quick. This is Luke, and Luke telling it. Now, this parable is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So I just want to look at one more. We'll look at Mark. He says basically the same thing, just slightly different wording, helps us understand. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Again, here's what happens. It makes us not produce, makes us unfruitful. We need to be fruitful. We need to continue to grow. I was looking around at teenagers here. Bailey, how old are you? 17, okay. Bailey has been very fruitful as a young teenager. She's led Bible study in her school. She's on leadership here at the church. Has a huge impact on girls and people all around her. Fruitful life. Wouldn't it be sad if at 17, she stopped being fruitful? And when she turned 27, she could look back at 10 years of doing nothing for God. That would be a tragedy because of how much fruit she's already had, right? Now, I picked on her because if I ask an adult their age, you're going to give me a bad looking eye, all right? I don't want to do that. Yeah, but imagine in your life where you are 10 years down the road, there's no fruit. That would not be what we want to do. There's no one whose life has changed. There's no one who's been impacted. There's no ministry done. I haven't grown. I haven't gotten rid of some things that don't belong in my life. God hasn't done anything. That should not be. Maybe 10 years is too far to think. 1 year down the road, shouldn't there be fruit? I mean, if you planted a garden and the whole year nothing grew out, maybe one little thing, oh, you'd be pretty disappointed in that, right? We need to have and see fruit growing in our life. And here's, I think, happens sometimes. We read something, well, this is great for new believers, and it is. But I want to just point out something to those of you that have been a believer for a long time. You may have had a time of fruitfulness in your past. You served in the ministry, and you impacted people, and you did things. And for whatever reason, it was a season of fruitfulness, and maybe you've been in a season of unfruitfulness, okay? There's just not been much impact. I want you to realize God can begin to produce in you again and decide, I want to be fruitful. Just I was one then, I want to be again. And he may produce different things. You may have taught a Sunday school class and now you may help with a small group. You may have done this and you may do something else. I don't know what he's going to do in you, but you need to say, Lord, what do you want to use me to do? And realize he can begin to produce in you again, okay? And so we want to be fruitful, not unfruitful. So there are some things he tells us, some thorns that grow up. And I want to look through these and just think about them together and see if we can recognize in our life if there is any thorns that are keeping us from growing. Okay, here we go. The first one was this, the worries of this life. Other translations say this, the cares of this life. So there are these things that we care about. I could ask this, don't answer, just think to yourself, what do you care about? What's important to you? What do you care about? What do you worry about? Here's the deal. The things that you care about are the things that can distract you. I mean, things you don't care about them, right? here's the deal. We're not talking about unimportant things. They're important. If they get the wrong place in your life, they distract you from what God wants you to do. There are lots of important things, okay? Any of you care about your grades down here? Shake your head, your parents are watching. Yeah, I really care. Happy, happy. Okay, it's good to care about that. It's good to care about an activity or a sport. It's good for you to care about your job or your work. It's good for you to care about all kinds of different things. Here's the thing. You need to recognize that if we're not careful, the things that we care about distract us from what God wants us to do. I like to use the word distract kind of because it sounds nice. Distracted. Jesus used a different word, didn't he? It chokes out what God wants to do. You were sitting here, he's trying to do something, and all these cares, not bad things, but they just took the wrong place and choked us out. Success and all these different things. So let me tell you how it happens a lot, okay? This is not going to happen to any of you when you graduate. I'll come get you, okay? Students graduate and they go to college, and there's often, people, they say, well, when they go to college, they fall away from Christ. And I'm sure there's many reasons for that. Some of them might be the third one, pleasures, and they're going after things that they shouldn't. But often this is what happens. just so many cares. Oh, I got so many classes and I'm on my own for the first time. I got to take care of this and I got to make sure I get there and I'm always busy all the time and da 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 da. And they get so overwhelmed with everything, all the cares, important things. It's important what they're doing, okay? But they're so overwhelmed. Then I come and I say, hey, what church are you going to? Oh, it's been 3 months, but I know I just haven't had time to find one. So many cares. And how often has God maybe tried to start something in you? He wanted you to start reading the word. He wanted you to start praying at night or praying during the time, and you were going to do it. You were going to start serving, whatever it was. And then the cares came. And again, we're not talking about bad things necessarily, just cares. And what we need to realize is we cannot let the cares of this life stop what God wants to do in us. In fact, what we do is we trust him with those cares. We trust him with those worries, and we trust that he's going to take care of those. I seek first his kingdom, and all those things are taken care of. And so we prioritize him over those things. But it's important to know the things I care about could be the very things that are choking out what God wants to do in my life. The next one was the deceitfulness of wealth. Wealth is deceitful. It pretends to do things that it can't really do. In fact, a lot of people might say this. Please don't amen, okay? They might say, I would be happier if I had more money. And that was hard for you to not amen. You want, yeah, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And this is what wealth says. You would be so much happier if you had more of me. Now look, if you're living in a box somewhere or in a van down by a river or whatever, you know, I understand that maybe having a little bit more, okay, would help you in that. But this is the truth. Most of us, we have so much. And even when we don't, I've known people in some of the most humble of circumstances who had such a joy and happiness in their life. And I've known people that had more money than I can understand what you do with. And they were so miserable and unhappy. And because here's the truth, it lies. Wealth lies and says, if you'll have more of me, I'll really satisfy you. You won't have to worry as much if you have more of me. Your life would just be fine if you had. And it deceives us so that we'll pursue it instead of God. And so that we will ignore God to get more of it. Would you ignore God's word to get more wealth? Then it's a thorn in your life if you would. But I think most of us wouldn't even go to that extreme. Well, of course, I'm not going to just disobey God to get more money. But instead, we just focus our life on it. And that is like the chief thing. It decides where I live, what I do with my time. It decides everything about my day a lot of times, getting more of this. And we have to be careful. There's nothing wrong with having money and getting wealth. Wealth is not a sin. Okay? We believe that God provides and does. If you follow what the scripture says financially, you will be a whole lot better off. I believe God will provide for you, and there's nothing wrong with wealth, but it cannot be our master. It cannot be something we serve. And so he warns us that the deceitfulness of wealth is a thorn. And finally, life's pleasures. Life's pleasures. Now here's the good news. Pleasure is not a sin. Think about it. God made taste buds, right? And he made the cow. And from the cow, we got milk and cheese and ice cream and steak, all right? So the same God that made taste buds made filet mignon, all right? And so we can thank the Lord that he likes pleasure. He created it. It was his idea. But it can become a distraction. It can become a choke in our life that keeps God from producing things when we put it in the wrong place. So what do you desire? Now, some of it may be good things. You desire a relationship. You desire, I don't know, you fill in the blank. What do you desire? What gives you pleasure? What do you enjoy? Now, I'm going to talk about sin in a second, but right now, just thinking about just normal life things, they can be good. It could be good to sit down and watch a show with your spouse and just kind of unwind for a little bit. But if it becomes such a thing that I don't ever have time to pray, or to read my word because I'm watching 3-4 hours of TikTok a night, then suddenly you can see this has taken a place it doesn't belong. And it's taking away what God wants to do in my life. And I cannot let those things grow up. And then, of course, sin is often rooted in pleasure. And that we let sin stay in our life. Why? Because it feels good and we enjoy it in the moment. And what God wants to get, sin is always a thorn. It always takes out what God wants to do in your life. And so we have to get rid of it. And here's the thing. Serving God does not mean no pleasure. The enemy wants you to think that, okay? The truth is, serving God is the greatest pleasure. Has anybody in here ever eaten that 20-cent ramen noodles before? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all ate those? Okay. I ate those quite a bit in college especially, but I've had those, they're not good. And I tell you what, every time I've eaten them, I would have rather had a steak dinner, maybe a, you know, filet, that would be good, or chicken Alfredo. Why did I eat the ramen? Cheap and easy. And the enemy wants you to settle for cheap and easy in your life. Sin is cheap and easy. Cheap and easy pleasure. Cheap and easy stuff. He wants you to do that when he has for you something great. He has something for you that's so much richer and fuller and better, and you are settling for less. And so we want to get these thorns out of our life. We don't want to let these things be things that stop what God happens. Worries, money, pleasures. That they are not allowed to stop what God's wanting to do in us. Now, those three things we talked about, salvation, we talked about that. He wants to produce new life in you. So let me tell you how that this can stop new life in you. Some of you, you've been interested in God, and you thought, hey, I like this church thing, or I kind of like God, I want to know more about him, but I have so much to do right now. I'm just really, you know, I got a lot going on, I'm real busy, and I'll figure out that God thing later. A little later in my life. When things settle down, I'll try that out more. And what's happened is the enemy used cares, busyness, to keep salvation from being produced in you. Or it feels like this. Well, you know, I think I might serve God someday, but right now, I just want to kind of see what the world is like. I want to try some fun things and try out these things and see what that's like. And you've let the pleasures of this life keep salvation from you. You've heard the news about God, but you won't let it go because you feel like, well, if I follow God, I'm going to have to give that stuff up. And it's stolen what God could do in you. And we don't want that to happen. It's the same with Christ-likeness, holiness, righteousness, living for God, letting those things come out of us. These same things, worries. How many times have people done the wrong thing because they were afraid? They were worried of what would happen if they changed. Or because just cares or pursuing money and pursuing more wealth, the things that people do and we can do just to get more stuff that would keep us from being like Christ, and pleasures and desires that we don't put off things that we should because it feels good to do the thing in the moment. And so in ministry, a lot of people are not doing any ministry because they're just so busy. There's so much going on. There's so many cares. There's so much stuff happening. And, you know, when I look in our church, there are some people who, they are so busy. There's two people that are serving in kids right now, BJ and Crystal. If you have kids that have gone through the preschool at all, you know who those two people are. Why? Because they are always serving and always working. And they both have full-time jobs and are raising little boys. And they're not sitting at home going, I just wish we had something to do. But you know what they've decided? Serving God is, and serving this church and serving the people around them and productive ministry is important in their life. And so they have prioritized that. And our whole church reaps fruit from their willingness to serve. And we cannot let all these things steal from us. I'm going to talk about how that we live this, but when I was talking about the cares, I missed something, and I just want to go back and talk about that really quick, because I want to encourage parents, because there's something the enemy is using. As a youth pastor, I've seen it. I've been doing it for 17 years, okay? I've seen a lot of teenagers, and I have kids. cares, they can be good things. I'm going to say this. Sports are a good thing. My kids are in sports. I went to soccer games yesterday, and it was super fun, okay? But the enemy will use it as something to take the fruit that God wants to do. So parents, listen, don't let what could be a season of spiritual growth get taken away by a season of sports. You are the parent, and you don't let a coach, a league decide if your kid's going to church or not. You decide. And don't trade it. It isn't worth it. It's fun. It's important. Maybe they'll be in the MLB. I don't know. But you decide this. No matter what we do, somehow I'm going to make sure my kids grow spiritually during the season, and I'm not going to let it. Because it hurts me as a youth pastor to see it happen over and over again, okay? He'll steal it from you if he can. So how do we be free? How do we be people that don't let these things come in and take away what God wants to do? Jesus talks about in Matthew 6, verse 24, he says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, the kind of visual here, the example, as you can imagine, there's a servant, and he has two different masters, and they're both telling him what to do, and sometimes that's going to come in conflict, and you got to pick. Okay, I'm going to serve you, not you. Because when you have two things, a lot of times they come in conflict. You've seen this in just kind of normal things in life, when you've got two things you're working on, and they come in scheduling conflicts or different things. When I was a student, I was in band, and I was in tennis. And then most of the time, that was fine, except for the weekend where there was a band contest and a tennis tournament at the same time. Suddenly there was conflict. And what did I have to do? I had to choose which one I really cared about. Which band? I was a band nerd, okay? You've done this with your diet, some of you, okay? You were committed to this diet. And there's that dessert that I just love, right? And in that moment, here they come. You had to make a decision. Which one are you devoted to? Okay, the diet or the dessert? And you choose one, okay? Because there's one that you are devoted to. Are you devoted to that diet or not? And here's, when it comes to relationship with God and serving him, if you choose to serve him, the enemy's not going to just let you do that without coming and trying to fight you. And he's like, hey, how about this thing? And he's going to bring in this busyness. He's going to bring, hey, I think the devil will make you wealthy if he can get you away from God. He'll bring in the deceitfulness of wealth. He'll bring in pleasure and all this thing and say, you know, you'll feel some, this will be so much more fun if you'll just ignore God. And there'll be this conflict. And if you have not set in your heart that you serve only one, there'll be this war in you that we're not supposed to have. It's just, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to serve God. And you cannot serve both God and money, he says. And you can't serve God and anything. It's only the Lord that we serve. You know, in a lot of things in life, we find balance. When you have different activities you're a part of and different things, you balance it out. You do a little of that and a little of that. I can't do all of, you know, I got my work-life balance, you know, and all those kinds of things. But I want you to understand, we don't have a God-life balance. We don't serve God and have my life and have my kind of balance thing. That's what the world wants you to do. That's what the enemy wants. Yeah, you know, put just a little extra God in your life will be a little better. It is, I serve God 100%. And everything else falls underneath. And I believe that he blesses me and he makes my life better and he will guide and direct me. He will bring me the things that I need. He will take care of my cares, right? And when I trust him, he will give me joy and pleasure and desires. He will take care of the money thing. He will do all of that if I will choose in my heart that I will serve the Lord. So we have to decide to clean out our hearts and serve only God. In James, the book of James, chapter 4, verse 8, it says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. By the way, it's not the message, but that's such hopeful news for some of you. If you are far from God, this morning, if you turn your heart towards him, you'll find him there. He's not far off. He is ready to be close to you. Come near to him. He'll come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. We can do this where in our hearts we have this double-mindedness. I'm gonna serve God, but I want this. I'm gonna do God thing, but I have this other thing. And we have this back and forth, this two masters, this thing where we're double-minded. And what we need to do is in our hearts, we decide, I am going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In our hearts, we decide this, that we are going to purify out everything else, that there's one ruler in my life, one Lord of my life, and it's Jesus, and I'm going to serve him. So I'm going to ask you this question. Have you set in your heart that you will serve God? Have you set that in your heart? I'm going to serve the Lord. No matter what, I'm going to serve God. When you make that decision and you set that in your heart, no thorn is going to stop you. No care, no thing like that. Nothing is going to stop you from growing and doing what God wants to do. But it's a decision you make to follow God no matter what. Now, I've been in a lot of youth camps and different things, and I've been in some services where they preached something about deciding to serve God. And they would say, so I'm going to count to three, and if you're going to serve God, I want you to stand to your feet. And one, two, three, and about 10, you know, a handful of people will jump up. God did something in their life. And then everybody else is like, well, I don't want to be the only one, you know, sitting down. And before you know it, the whole audience is standing. Everyone's serving God. A few of them really decided. I'm not going to have you stand up and show that you're serving God to everybody in the room. What I want you to do is in your heart, talking to God this morning, tell him, I'm gonna serve you, Lord. And ask him to root out the stuff that doesn't belong. Don't let this just be a message that you heard. Let this be a moment where you changed your heart, where you let God come in and clean out what doesn't belong and to get the thorns out of you so that he can grow something in you. There are some of you that there's some joy that you are missing out. He has got some fruit that's trying to grow and thorns are wrapped around and keeping that joy. And if you will just purify your heart and seek God, joy will begin to grow in you. There's some of you that there's an addiction. He wants to just break it off of your life, but you've got to choose. I'm going to serve the Lord. He can heal your marriage. The fruit and the things that God will do in your life are amazing, but we've got to get rid of the thorns. We've got to set our hearts on him.